heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We will be going to your calls in this segment of the broadcast, so please be patient and dial 888-ASK-HANK. The resources available for those who support the ministry all this month, Darwin's House of Cards. It is written by Tom Bethel, and I've mentioned this on previous broadcasts, but he is one of perhaps the most engaging writers I have ever read, and particularly so on the subject of Darwin's House of Cards, which is precisely what Darwin's evolutionary theory is. And yet, other than Scripture, Darwin's magnum opus, The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, might well be the most significant literary work in the annals of recorded history. In fact, Sir Julian Huxley called the evolutionary dogma it spawned the most powerful, the most comprehensive idea that has ever arisen on Earth. Harvard scientist Ernst Mayr said that the Darwinian Revolution of 1859, that's when The Origin of Species was published, was perhaps the most fundamental of all intellectual revolutions. Denton underscored the fact that the 20th century cannot be comprehended apart from the intellectual revolution the theory produced. And this great cosmogenic myth has far-reaching consequences. Indeed, the consequences can be felt in virtually every single field, every discipline of study, all levels of education, and every area, not only of education, but of practice. But the most significant consequence is that it undermines the very foundation of the historic Christian faith. Because if indeed evolution is reflective of the laws of science, then Genesis must be reflective of the flaws of Scripture. And if the foundation of Christianity is flawed, then the superstructure is bound to fall. Now, many people think that's precisely what happened with Scripture. It has fallen. Scripture is an out-of-date manual that can no longer be considered credible. Well, the truth is somewhere else. The truth is in Darwin's House of Cards. And I think as Christians, we need to get a handle on this issue, because untold millions, and this is not hyperbole, untold millions of Christian children are leaving the faith as soon as they leave the home because of the peer pressure that is extracted, or maybe there's a better word for that, the peer pressure that is imposed on them in the educational process. And the educational process oftentimes is not education, it's brainwashing. roughly defined at least, brainwashing in the sense that all of the evidence is being presented on one side of the ledger and it's being excluded on the other side of the ledger. And you see that in the Dover case, which I've talked about on the broadcast before, where you have a judge judging that we cannot have any of this intellectual design movement being taught in the school system, because if we do, then kids are going to get the other side of the equation, and that would be really, really bad. What does he get for his trouble in marshaling his contempt against the intelligent design movement, which simply follows truth wherever it leads, where he becomes a cultural icon? So this is a battle that must be waged and has to be waged with some intelligence, and that's why I'm recommending Darwin's House of Cards. It is a delight to the senses. When you read it, you will laugh as well as be educated. Also available, Revolutionary. It is about Michael Behe. Dr. Behe is one of the smartest people on the planet, but he's also one of the most humble people on the planet, and he was not looking for fame. He was hoping to write a book, Darwin's Black Box, that his mother would read, and it turned out to be a revolution. And so there's a film we have, it's called Revolutionary, and this is one of those must-sees. It is Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. Now that sounds kind of egg-heady, but actually it's not all that egg-heady at all. What he does is he takes the complex, makes it simple, makes it transferable. So you think about a flagellum. So I've never heard of a flagellum before, but by the time you get done watching this, you will understand the significance of a flagellum. And it will be likened unto an outboard motor. And you'll kind of understand why the evolutionary process is dead in its tracks at the very beginning. So again, two resources available for those who support the ministry. We go to great pains to find these resources, as I confessed, True Confessions in the broadcast yesterday. I actually hadn't read the book myself until a few days ago. I started reading the book, and I was relying for one of the first times ever, I tend to micromanage a whole lot more than probably I should, on our research staff who recommended this book to me. And, well, they'd never been wrong before, so I figured they're not going to be wrong this time. But in reading the book, I realized that this is not just about being right or wrong. This is about getting intoxicated about a book that can really make a difference. And so, again, Darwin's House of Cards, recommended now as a result of my own personal reading of the book. Check it out on the web at equip.org, available for those who support the ministry. Let's go to the phone callers. Thomas in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, good evening, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great, thanks for that recommendation. It sounds like a great book. And the whole idea that you were just saying about a house of cards, maybe this is a question that I think maybe shed some light within Christianity, if there are some smaller house of cards. And I know you've done like great work on many, many issues where you disagree with the mainstream interpretations of some things. And this is just one that I've been looking in for the last quite a few years. But You mentioned, I listened to one of your broadcasts, and you said that mankind and angels have free will. And I just wanted to ask you where you determine that angels have free will in the Bible.
Well, it's a theological deduction from reading the whole of Scripture. So you have angels that are created in such a way that they can worship God or do otherwise. And some of the angels continued in their worship of God while others did not. The theological deduction from that is that angels have free will. And to this day, we have both, according to the panoply of Scripture, fallen angels, the chief of which is Satan, and those who are unfallen, or those who continue to be messengers of God, those who continue to worship God, the very thing that created beings are designed to do. We have been created in the Imago Dei, and we also have the ability to either love God or not to love God. If we did not have volition, if we didn't have the ability to choose or to choose otherwise, then love would not even be part of the equation. But love is part of the equation, starting with the love that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have for one another, and the love that we have for the one God who has loved us so much that he has provided a way of reconciliation.
Right. Could I just ask something to follow up with that?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking, because I've studied in some of your writings on, you know, the Nephilim, interpreted giants, men of renown, and you disagree. You think that's the line of Cain versus the line of Seth that crossed over. God warned all the time, remain separate. And if anyone wants to come into the house, the camp of Israel, they have to adhere to the laws of God, right? But the Book of Enoch was not part of canon. And the whole storyline within the Book of Enoch is about the fallen angels, which is, you know, never in the Bible, except for in the Book of Enoch. The word fallen angel or evil angel, there's evil spirit, but it says evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul, right? And I'm just wanting to know how much credibility you give to the Book of Enoch then, since you're disagreeing with the Nephilim as a result of fallen angels.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with some of what is written in the Book of Enoch. And not only that, but the Bible does. And that's never a problem for me, or it shouldn't be a problem for you or anyone else. Why? Because all truth is God's truth. And so, for example, in the book of Jude, you have Jude quoting from the book of Enoch because he's quoting there a truth that is inviolate. However, the idea that angels can have, or fallen angels in this case, have sex with women goes against the whole tapestry of Scripture. The tapestry of Scripture is always about kinds reproducing after their own kinds. So the notion that an angel that does not have physicality and cannot produce physicality apart from God's creative prowess, that such a fallen angel can have sex with a woman is a sheer function of mythology, not a function of theology. So you find this in the mythologies, but you will not find this in Scripture. In fact, if you look at Genesis, what is Genesis chapter 6? It's not a judgment on hybrids. It is a judgment on a fallen human race. And the context of Genesis 6 could not be more clear in this regard.
But I'm just saying, so then with the Book of Enoch, definitely quite a bit, majority of the storyline there, would you just say then that's outright false? And where would that have then come from?
Well, I do think it's outright false,
and
I think it's
are credible.
Yeah, I think it is outright false, and I think unfortunately it has been used as the basis for films and movies and all kinds of mythological ideas. And this is one of the reasons that while you can find truth in the Book of Enoch, you will not find Enoch as part of the canon.
Okay. And can I just ask you this, and Hank? When I read, there's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about all of God's angels and what all of God's angels do as far as being his ministers, ministering spirits, obeying him, obeying his commands. When you read those passages, you obviously then have to just assume that there's another part that are all fallen. Yeah, because, and I just wanted to reference Adam Clark, and I don't use just one scholar, but he took 40 years to write his scholarship, his commentary, and he disagrees with Revelation 12, the word Satan and devil and old serpent are descriptive words of pagan Rome. He disagrees with Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, and he disagrees with Daniel 10 as far as there being some regional, and I read a little bit about what you're accept too, about regional demons around, you know, different areas of the world type of thing. And he says it makes nonsense of Scripture not to accept that that's about physical kings, especially one prophesied by God, Cyrus, to release the Jews, and that angels had to go and push the will of the kings, the men, to allow the people to go. And that's similar to the passage where it says that God hardened Moses' heart on purpose to not let the people go so that, you know.
Yeah, we're almost running out of time. Interesting monologue there. But I think one of the things that you will see, and you mentioned at the end of your monologue, the idea of a Pharaoh. The Bible actually states both sides of the issue. It states on the one hand that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. It also states in Scripture that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Of course, mercy was the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Every single time God relented and removed a plague, Pharaoh would respond in disobedience. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Interesting conversation. We'll be back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
In a brilliantly produced documentary film on DVD from the Discovery Institute titled Revolutionary, Professor Michael Behe, a distinguished biochemist and recognized leader in the intelligent design movement, pokes serious holes in Darwinism with trailblazing insights into irreducible complexity. You might be asking, what is irreducible complexity? It is a concept clearly explained in Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This DVD will show you exactly why Darwin's theory is well past its prime. To receive a copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Naturalists typically claim that all the religious content in the origins debate is located on the side of creationism. But evolution as a worldview and as a scientific theory was from its inception deeply entangled with theology, and it has yet to extricate itself from God talk. In the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, intelligent design theorist Paul A. Nelson shows how evolutionary theory employs theological concepts and categories for its support and justification. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And I do want to mention, CRI's support team people are joining the support team, and every single day I'm personalizing copies of any one of my books to family members or friends. Again, personalizing those as my way of saying thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. If you have listened for a long time and have never joined the Bible Answer Man support team, consider doing that. If you are an occasional giver, consider stepping it up and becoming a monthly giver. The difference that that would make in terms of reaching people around the globe is monumental. And there are many ways that we do that. I mean, the most obvious, visible way is through our broadcasts and through our podcasts and through doing the Bible Answer Man Facebook Live editions. These kinds of things are visible, but there's so much that is not as apparent, but still goes on 24/7. So please stand with us, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Again, for those who give this month, two excellent resources, Revolutionary and Darwin's House of Cards. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jonathan in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. So we're going from one part of Canada to the other. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. And I know you've been talking about the LGBT situation that is happening right now. And I happen to think about a situation that happened to me a while ago when I was at work. I had this coworker that I didn't know by then that he was transgender, or I don't know like how he considered himself. But there was a TV at work, and there was a show about people who were being born with the two characteristic, like male and female parts. So, and I said to him, "Well, I believe that God made a man and woman, right? So I don't believe that a man is born homosexual, or like a woman is born lesbian." But that's what I just said at that moment. Then he said, "Well, how can you explain my situation?" He asked me, right? And I was like, "What's your situation?" And he said, "I was born like with both parts, like male and female parts." And I was speechless. I didn't know how to answer to that. And I just said, "Well, I got to stick to what I believe. I believe man is born a man and woman is born a woman." And, well, I didn't have an answer back then, and I don't think I still have an answer. So what would be the proper or like the most prudent answer to give in that situation, if you can help me out there?
Well, I think you got part of it right. I mean, God created male and female. That's absolutely an inviolate truth, so good for you. But it's also important to point out that we live in a fallen world, and as a result of living in a fallen world, there are people that are born with congenital blindness. There are people that are born with all kinds of maladies or potentials for those maladies. We live in a world gone berserk as a result of sin. And we have, as a result of that, not only problems within the human being, but also problems within the universe in which the human being resides. So let's think about this for a moment. Intersex, and this is really what your friend was talking about, or sometimes the word is used hermaphrodite. Intersex or hermaphrodite refers to a very rare condition And I think it's worth noting that this is an extremely rare condition, but yet a condition of individuals who are, as indicated by your friend, born with both male and female reproductive organs and sex glands. And in even rarer cases, I mean, this really gets rare, both XX and XY chromosomes. So what happens? There's a medical treatment for this disorder, and it can involve the surgical and the hormonal assignment of gender, which ideally ought to be made on the basis of every relevant factor. In other words, those that are making this assignment should take into consideration a wide variety of issues that are involved here. This involves chromosomal issues, neurological issues, psychological issues, behavioral issues, and much, much more. So again, these are the kinds of things that happen in a fallen world. In the particular case that we're talking about, it is very, very rare. But as your friend has indicated, it is not non-existent. So what happens in this case is you have to take every single factor that you can into consideration, and then be involved as a doctor in assigning a sex to that particular individual.
All right, yeah, I understand what we're saying there. What I want to add is just he was male looking, you know, when you first met him, but he told me that his father was the one that made a mistake to choose the male part, because he said that he felt like a woman the whole life. And then he said he chose the wrong, he made the wrong decision now. And like, I was speechless all that time because I didn't know what to say. It was like, so in that situation, what would you do? Or like, what would you say if that happens again?
Again, I'd say exactly what I just mentioned. I mean, this is an extremely rare situation. And then in the cases of this extremely rare situation, there's a medical treatment of the disorder, just as there are medical treatments of other disorders, and those medical treatments need to be made advisedly. But here again, you have an issue that your friend is discussing as though gender is not tied to biology. It is tied to biology. And the idea today is that gender is not tied to biology. It's removed from biology. It's now a function of feeling. And I mentioned this on yesterday's broadcast. You have young kids, kids that are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, that are now listening to a narrative. In fact, that narrative is almost being foisted upon them. And so they're making decisions. Wow, I really don't feel like a boy. I feel a little more like a girl. These kinds of decisions are regretted so often later on in life. Unfortunately, later on in life, oftentimes there have been already decisions made previously in life that now affect you later on. And that's where the danger lies. So if you're 6 or 7 or 8, you listen to the narrative, your parents help you make a decision, and now you have reassignment taking place on the basis of hormones or surgical procedures, and then later on in life, you regret it. And as a result of regretting it, sometimes you take your own life. I mean, the cases of suicide directly related to this issue are not insignificant. So I think that rather than have this huge social engineering project, we ought to go back to basics and recognize that we live in a fallen world, and that we can't take an extremely rare situation and try to make that the norm by which we set all standards. This is simply wrong-headed, and it's dangerous. And you think about a narrative like this. I mean, this is not a narrative that has been around for very long. This is a brand new narrative. Now, the fact that it's new doesn't mean it's not true. But it's a relatively new narrative, and therefore we ought to examine it closely rather than lockstep walking over the edge of the cliff, which is precisely what people are doing. And it's a scary situation. I mean, I suppose your generation, Christina, is dealing with this situation in a far different way than my generation is. And partly because your generation is a generation that grew up, first of all, laughing at the homosexual situation in sitcoms. I mean, not laughing at, but, you know, this becomes a humorous thing, and you laugh, and pretty soon it becomes normalized in your mind. And after a while, after being pummeled by the media and by the entertainment industry, the educational industry, pretty soon you start to think, what in the world's wrong with my dad? What in the world's wrong with my mom? What in the world is wrong with these people? They think there's something wrong with gender fluidity. I mean, how stupid. Of course there are 57 varieties of gender, but I do think it really oftentimes is a function of the age in which you grew up and the age in which all of these things have become more normalized through, again, this pounding of the media and educational institutions. And I think most particularly the educational or the entertainment industry.
I think it's dangerous too, because it's a slippery slope. I mean, if we, before it was homosexuals and we, you know, gradually began to accept that, or people do, and now it's transgender. And I mean, I was talking to my friend and I'm like, age 18 doesn't matter anymore, does it? If it's all about what we think, then does that matter? Are we going to all of a sudden say it's okay? It's my right to choose what age kid I want to be with.
Or what you want to be. I mean, that's a great point, because I think this is one of the things that is next on the horizon. Now your age is not a function of your biological age, because it isn't tied to biology. It's a function of whatever age you feel. Then you can determine all kinds of things on the basis of gender. You know, some of the things you actually can't say, because if you say them, you got to make a whole lot of qualifications, or people are apt to misunderstand what you're saying. But there are a lot of ramifications here, none of which are particularly good. We're coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll also come back with the quote of the day. This one is a... is the right word barn burner? Maybe this would be a good word. Barn burner. This is an extraordinary quote. We'll come right back with the quote of the day. More answers to your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
In this case, the revolution has been televised. Revolutionary tells the story of Michael Behe's transformation from mild-mannered biochemist to orthodoxy-challenging revolutionary. It also explores the rise of the broader intelligent design movement in biology, the attempt to silence supporters of intelligent design in federal court, and the eventual vindication of the ideas of Professor Behe and others during the last decade. It's time to think critically and stand up to the unscientific status quo. Are you ready to join Michael Behe and be a revolutionary? To receive your copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
T
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Since the beginning of Christianity and for more than 1,000 years, there was a common conviction that all matter, all nature, is mysteriously and metaphysically anchored in God. Devoted Christians yearn for mystery and meaning in a world that has become progressively disenchanted over the past 500 years. And a growing number of Christian scholars are now calling for the retrieval of a hearty sacramental ontology for the church and its witness to the world. Read In Search of the Sacred, Coming to Grips with Secularity by Arthur W. Hunt III in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from Dr. Michael Denton. He is the ever-quotable Dr. Michael Denton. He was a man who said things that just stick in the mind. And one of the things he said was, evolution, and this is the quote of the day, is one of the most spectacular examples in history of how a highly speculative idea for which there is no really hard scientific evidence can come to fashion the thinking of a whole society and dominate the outlook of an age. Wow. Many other great Michael Denton quotes, but we'll leave it at that for now. It'll be up on the web in a short period of time. It's one you might want to get in your head. Go back to the phone lines, talk to Pam in Williamsburg, Virginia. Pam is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Pam.
Hi, good to speak with you. And I do pray for your healing and for your ministry. You're on most nights with me, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The concern I have, I mean, there's been a, obviously we've been on this discussion for a while, for weeks now on the LGBTs and transgendered. And what I'm not understanding, or obviously I don't understand because I'm not an expert, but I do think that what they have in their head, is not matching, what's on their body. And there's, that distinction. And it's never called mental illness. And it's almost like it's taboo, or for some reason it would not be considered mental illness. But when I think about schizophrenia, and again, I'm not an expert here, so I could be way off base, but those folks will take on multiple personalities from what they really are. I mean, their head is telling them one thing, and so, and they can be multiple people. Well, in a transgendered way, I think of them as they're just taking on one other personality or one other person. But it still would be a mental illness. And it just doesn't seem like it's ever treated that way. It's like we want to treat it medically, but not mentally. Am I off base there? Is there something there that...
Well, there is yes. I mean, this used to be called a disorder, right? And now everything has had to be rewritten. So you have these psychiatric institutions having to jump through all kinds of hoops and change what they have written and obscure the past so people don't see how they used terminology in the past. So the word disorder has now been replaced with dysphoria. And again, oftentimes it's not the the word that's used, it's the meaning that's poured into the words. And as I mentioned yesterday, you have a now very virulent transition-affirming movement. And they're using the myth that people are born transgender to justify in engaging in what has been well described as a massive, uncontrolled, unconsented experimentation on children who have a psychological condition that would otherwise resolve after puberty in the vast majority of cases. So the institutions that are now promoting transition affirmation are pushing children, and these are not my thoughts. I mean, these are the thoughts, the very well-founded thoughts of a very prominent doctor in the field. They're pushing children to impersonate the opposite sex, and they're sending a whole slew of them down the path of puberty blockers, sterilization, the removal of healthy body parts. I mean, think about that, like double mastectomies. And this is doing untold psychological damage. And there's some data, even though this is a brand new phenomena in many different ways, I mean, there's some data that you can look at. We know, for example, that adults who undergo sex reassignment, and you can look at Sweden as the example because it's among the most LGBTQI affirming countries, they have a suicide rate nearly 20 times greater than that of the general population. So the point is that sex reassignment is not the solution to what is now called gender dysphoria. So when you ask, am I way off base? I don't think so. I mean, I think that the people that are lockstep in this movement, walking over the cliff, are not only endangering themselves in their academic disciplines, but they're endangering the very people that they're influencing.
I just can't imagine looking back years from now and saying, why didn't we give those people the treatment that they needed? If that's the case, that there's something there that can be treated versus the science project that we're off on here. It's very It's just so sad and so disturbing.
It is disturbing. It is disturbing. I mean, this is the experimentation on children. I mean, that's what it ultimately is. And, you know, but here's the deal, Pam. If you do not accept a higher authority, if there is no God, everything becomes permissible. Because now truth is no longer determined by some objective standard. It is determined by the size and scope of the latest lobby group. So truth is in a state of flux. And at this particular point in time, in Western civilization, cultural elites have decided that this is the way to go. And if you don't go this way, they're going to call you bigoted, or you're not going to get tenure, or there's going to be some kind of a consequence. So people kind of walk along with the herd. And this is one of the reasons, by the way, and it's a little bit off topic, but it's why I love Revolutionary. Michael Behe was willing to walk away from the herd to examine the herd to see if what the herd was doing was wise as it was heading over the cliff. And he did that with the whole evolutionary hypothesis or low-grade hypothesis. He started thinking about it critically. He was in the field, kind of been part of the herd, walked away from the herd because when he started thinking about it critically, a lot of it did not make sense. Now today, he has been proven to be very, very wise because as Bethel has well said, Darwin's theory is a mere house of cards, and it will eventually blow away or fall apart with a slight gust of wind.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for standing for the truth and just helping us all find the truth and believe the truth and have a backbone for the truth, because you do. You feel like you get beat up or you're crazy for thinking what you think, but it's like, I'm more concerned because we're treating them the wrong way when there's probably treatment available that could help them live, you know, wonderful lives out there. And we're destroying them before they even get a chance. And, you know, they're not a petri dish. It just, to me, it's like a science experiment gone wrong. And it just is so upsetting. So
it's not like
for the discussion.
You're absolutely welcome. It's not like it hasn't happened again or happened before. I mentioned on the broadcast a few days ago eugenics. I mean, this was an experiment in the United States based on a theory, really based on the evolutionary paradigm. So evolution led to eugenics. All we wanted to do was forward the whole process of evolution and not infect the gene pool with less fit genes. So what do? You start sterilizing people. And this became a cultural phenomenon. Everybody bought into it. I mean, in the academic community, they bought into it. In the financial community, I mean, you think about the foundations, the very reputable foundations that poured hundreds of millions of dollars, perhaps, into this whole eugenics myth. And now we've gotten to the point where we don't even want to admit that we ever thought such a thing in the first place. So we've swept it under the rug. It's faded into the shadows of history. We still pay reparations for it, but we don't want to acknowledge it. Juanita in New York, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Juanita.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, Hank? It's nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
I have a question. I was just having a discussion with someone, and they said that they read in the Bible that angels came down and mated with humans, and they had children. And I said, I don't think it's true. I think that you're reaching into mythology when you say that angels and humans can mate. Can you tell me what is truth?
Well, no, what you're saying is absolutely true, and I talked about that at the beginning of the broadcast in, I think, in response to a question. You know, demons are non-sexual. They're non-physical beings, and as such, they are incapable of having sexual relations and producing physical offspring. And I think to say that demons can create bodies with DNA and fertile sperm is to say that demons have creative power, which is an exclusively divine prerogative. So God can allow an angel to take on physicality for his own purposes. Not only can, but has. But demons do not have that creative power, so they can't produce bodies and then have sex with women. And you're absolutely right to render this mythology. In mythology, the gods came down and they had sex with women. But this is not something that you find in the tapestry of Scripture. You find something quite different. What you find in Scripture is kinds reproducing after their own kinds. And with that, we're wrapping up a week's worth of broadcasts. I want to publicly thank the Lord Jesus Christ for sustaining me, giving me strength, giving me the energy that I need to do everything that He has called me to do, and to do it with great joy and purpose. Only when life soon will be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Thank you, Christina, for joining me in studio. I thank all the people that support this ministry internally, externally. We're making a difference together. We're telling it is, no matter what the cost. It's not about popularity, a platform, prosperity. It's ultimately about an audience of one. We want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. So thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to next week and more broadcasts.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI.
or visit equip.org.